Let's Talk, Bible Fellowship Church's devotional podcast, devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us. Our passage for today, it's going to be Galatians chapter 2. Continuing our study through the book of Galatians, we're going to pick up in verse 11 and read to the end of chapter 2. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." The first thing I'd like to point out is we should be encouraged that even those who are pillars of the faith, church fathers who were supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the messengers of the gospel in the church's infancy, if they can fail, if they can have a bad moment, then we should be easy on ourselves in those moments to know that we too will fail. We too will fall short, and the grace of God is ready to meet us there. Peter acted hypocritically. When he came to Antioch, he was eating with the Jewish believers there, and he was not following the ceremonial laws of the traditional Jewish faith. Yet, when those of the circumcision party who believed that you did need to continue to follow elements of the law to be faithful to Christ showed up, suddenly he wasn't so sure in his newfound freedom in Christ. Peter, the one who God showed at Cornelius' house that Gentiles were to be brought into the faith, "Rise and eat." And Peter says, "By no means, I won't do it." God supernaturally showed him. He was the vehicle of this revelation to God's people. Yet here he was behaving hypocritically. It was a bad moment. It was sin. He was turning from the truth of the gospel and fearing man rather than fearing God. Peter, who was ready to go to battle and cut off, you know, the high priest's servant's ear with a sword, is the one who in this moment is fearing people's opinion. And what do we see Paul doing here? We see him doing the loving thing. This is hard for us. This is hard for especially people like me who tend to fear, how is this going to make someone view me? I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. I don't want to make waves unnecessarily. But Paul does the loving thing. He stands up for the truth, both for Peter and for those who are looking on. Others were being led astray by his behavior. So there are moments when you see someone doing something wrong and you want to come to them in confidence and say, "Hey man, I noticed this. You might want to approach this differently in love." But not in this case. Why? Because others were being led astray. Both the Jews who are beginning to behave hypocritically and those Gentiles who might be looking on and saying, "Are we out of line? Do we need to adopt this Jewish faith that has not really been a part of our Christianity thus far?" So Paul speaks the truth. Paul does not fear people's opinions, as we read about earlier in Galatians, and he shows that here, he proves that here. This is harder for some of us. And some of us might feel like, you know, who am I to speak out into someone else's sin? Well, we are God's saints. We are members of the church. We are a part of the body. And sometimes being a faithful member of the body, which is our first point here, means confronting somebody in love. Means standing up for the truth even when it is uncomfortable. And Paul is called to do this here. You know, I think about parenting. I love our children very much. But it is not the loving thing to always do what is going to make them happy. Sometimes loving my child means telling them something they don't want to hear, making them do something they don't want to do. But I do that because I love them and I want what's best for them. And God has made Josie and I, you know, his ambassadors into these little lives to say, this is what truth looks like. This is what faithfulness looks like. This is what love looks like. Not whatever makes you happy. It's part of the job. And we, you know, we mess that up all the time. But that is why we do it, because we love them and we want what's best for them. We also need to do that to our brothers and sisters in Christ from time to time, and we would hope that they would do it to us as well, painful and awkward and uncomfortable though it may be. And this uncomfortable conversation gives way to one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith. We are justified by faith. We are not justified by how we live or the choices we make. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and we see that here. And if we are found to be sinners, does that mean that Christ is a servant of sin? Paul asks. Certainly not. If I rebuild what I tore down, he says, that means if I adopt the law again, I only further prove that I am a sinner. That was one of the main points of the law, is to show us that we cannot do it. We cannot earn our way to heaven. So we set it aside. Through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That means that the actions that we take, the decisions we make, the good works that we do pursue are done not to earn God's favor, but by God's grace. Where is God when we're doing our good works? Is he somewhere far off looking on and we're trying to win him over? Or is he right there in the moment with us and we're saying, God, what thought, what action do you want me to engage in this moment? We do our good works with God and by his grace. We do not nullify the grace of God. Because if we could earn our salvation through the law, Paul says, then Christ died for no reason. We wouldn't have needed the crucifixion. We need it because we could never earn our way there. And we have been justified by faith. And we continue to walk in our relationship with God by faith and drawing on the grace that he provides. Where is God when we're living out our lives? Is he somewhere far off, or is he right there with us in the moment? Are we walking by the Spirit, or are we walking in the flesh? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Galatians, for the beautiful truth that we are justified by faith. Your word and your law, which was good, is a mirror that shows us that we can never measure up to your perfection and your holiness. But we thank you for the cross of Christ. We thank you that you are the kind of God who gives his life for sinners, sinners like us. And so, God, help us to walk in relationship with you, to walk in the grace that you provide, so that we might be able to do tough things, like maybe confront someone that we love and we see living in sin, and maybe tough things like receiving correction or someone coming to us speaking the truth in love. May we receive that well by your grace that you provide. Be with us as we go out from here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning into another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.